welcome to Let's Talk. I'd like to acknowledge the continuing sovereignty of all First Nations peoples right across the country. Also, I'd like to acknowledge elders, elders of the First Peoples of the land, and elders of more recent arrivals. Welcome to each and every one of you. And welcome to all our listeners tuned in across the country by the National Indigenous Radio Service and across the world by the World Wide Web. Welcome to you. It's great to have your company. Well, today my guest talks to me from Broome. A young First Nations man is a part of the Indigenous Marathon Project that was established some years ago by Robert De Castella, involving or engaging with First Nations athletes, First Nations people, and in preparation for marathons. And marathons across the world. And I'm talking to Adrian Dodson Shaw this morning, who has run in two marathons, one in New York and one at the North Pole Marathon. Adrian Dodson Shaw is the first First Nations man to fly our flags, the Aboriginal flag and the Torres Strait Islander flag, on the North Pole. What a sight that is. There's photos and an article in the Courier Mail back in April 22nd. And we've got to hear this young man's story. Adrian, thanks for joining me today. It's only 7 o'clock in Broome. I really appreciate you making the effort. So welcome to the Let's Talk, and thank you for joining us.
Yeah, no worries, sorry. Thanks.
Tell us your mob, your country.
Yeah, well, my mob here in Broome, from my father's side, he's a Yarrow man. He's from Broome. And from my mother's side, she's from Alice, so she's an Aranda, Katie's woman. So, yeah, that's my two sides.
All right. You spent some time growing up in Alice Springs on Mother's Country?
Yeah, grew up in Alice. Majority of my childhood. As a young person, grew up in one of the town camps there. As a young fella, yeah.
All right. What was it like in Alice Springs as a young fella growing up? I mean, did you have any aspirations there, like of sports? Most of us, our young mob, are interested in sports. You had an interest in sports back as a young fella?
No, not as such. I think, you know, growing up in Alice and the Spring thing, I think, you know, you're just happy enough to run around with your cousins, or just play around with your cousins and, you know, your family and stuff like that. There's no real sports focus at that time. Yeah, no, not really.
All right. When did that happen for you? When did you get the interest in sports? When you got a bit older, you get into footy, AFL?
Yeah, like, you know, obviously, yeah, AFL and stuff. You know, when I got down, yeah, obviously watching it on obviously big screen and stuff like that. So I developed a love with, obviously, of AFL and along with basketball, because I was really a big basketball supporter as well.
All right. NBA.
Yep.
When did you go to Father's Country to live and to continue on with life?
That happened probably about 6 years ago, like permanently.
Okay. You always go backwards and forwards.
Yeah, backwards and forwards, obviously, you know, having the best of both worlds and stuff, you know.
Of course.
Desert and saltwater. But I spent a lot of time down in Melbourne, and I lived down there just obviously because I was chasing the sport that I loved at the time, and, you know, that was footy, AFL.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you know, there's a couple of opportunities to go down and, you know, play and get paid to play football and stuff like that. And so, you know, I followed footy for a while down in Melbourne and didn't get exposure down there. And then eventually I went back to the territory, and then eventually moved back to Broome.
All right. You married man, got some children. Running around, real proud of their dad?
Yeah, got a partner and two kids.
Uh-huh.
And I've got one baby on the way. We're expecting to meet him in the next 2 months or whatever it is,
right.
two to 3 months. Yeah. You know, so it's not long now.
Yeah.
But Yeah, no. So I'll have three boys in the household soon. I just really, you know, proud dad and stuff, and you know, good to have, you know, sons and stuff like that. And, you know, sure. Just really looking forward to this last one to come along, and you know, yeah.
Good one. Good one. How did you get involved in the Indigenous Marathon Project? When was it, and how did it happen?
Basically last year, being selected last year, I tried out and stuff like that last year, and I turned 30 last year, and because the criteria, like all the age bracket within the program, it's 18 to 30.
Mm-hmm.
So last year was my last chance to obviously put my hand up and you know,
go on trial
have
for
a go.
It.
Yeah, have a go and stuff. So I did it last year. But I've always known about the project since it's probably its beginnings. In 2010, one of my best mates, Charlie Ma, he was one of the first four boys that you know, obviously to be part of the project itself, and just first follow the finish, or first Indigenous follow part of the program across to the New York Marathon finish line. And I think over the years he's just echoed, you know, like why, you know, I should have, you know, I should, you know, give it a go and give it a try. And because I've always doubted myself, I said, nah, you know, I can't do that. Probably, you know, like it's a marathon, you know. But, you know, obviously being supportive of him and what he had achieved, and but not knowing that, you know, I'd eventually take up, you know, what he was doing and, you know, like, and go with it, because I think many aspects, the marathon obviously shaped him, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
With a running program, you know, like, obviously, you know, there are a lot more benefits in terms of, him actually, you know, growing as a person and stuff, you know, and what the program empowered him, you know, and what it gave him in terms of being, you know, obviously, you know, as always a role model, but just giving that extra bit of, you know, that confidence and stuff like that. And I think that that's a big one, because, you know, like, you know, to have the confidence to say, well, you know, I want to try out for this project, and, you know, most of, you know, like, you know, you try out, you think, oh, yeah, I'll run a marathon, you know, without really being naive about, you know, you got to run 42 Ks, you know, you know, it's not, you know, like, it's just, oh, yeah, deadly, oh, just, you know, like,
wow.
You know, like, when you think of the normal of running a marathon, and, you know, like 42.195 Ks, you know, it's the distance within itself, you know, it's a journey, you know. You know, like, and there's within an Indigenous culture, you know, at the time, you know, it's not too many people to do it, you know.
That's right.
Robert E. Costello says, you know, like, running a marathon is like a metaphor for life, you know. You know, along the way, there's ups and there's downs, and ultimately it's about, you know, pushing through that and then, you know, crossing that finish line. You know? And I think by having goals, and because marathon is pretty much about yourself, you know, and it's, you know, if you don't do the work to, you know, to get one to get to the start line, then you'll definitely not finish, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you got
to
do the preparation, eh?
Yeah, you know, and it's the hard work, you know. It's those times when you have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, like I did, you know, like last year. I was up 12 o'clock every morning, you know, chuck my shoes on, and out there running, you know, distances, and, you know, so there's a lot of the things that, all of those things, you know, helped me along the way, being disciplined, and it paid off, like, big time, because I started I got to the start line, and ultimately I finished, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the beauty of the marathon, you know, like, doesn't matter how fast you do a marathon, you still run the same distance. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's still, but it's just reflective of how fast you want to do a marathon. You know, like, mm-hmm. and how advanced you get as being a runner as such. You know, you take a lot away from being number one, being part of the program, because it's not just all about running a marathon. It's, you know, like, there's a certificate course as well in sports and leisure, and that's a course that you have to kind of, you know, fulfill your obligations there, you know, because you've got a couple of camps in the lead up to the New York Marathon. So, you know, you have to complete that, you know, education part of it, which is really good because once you finish, you know, obviously the program, get to the start line and finish line and have that medal around your neck, the New York medal, or, you know, you also walk away with
a qualification, a certificate, yeah, right.
You know, and that's a major thing, you know, like,
yes,
for all of us, is like, you've got to have that. Because it's not all in vain. Because it's not, you know, it's just not.
It's not just about running. There's more to it. There's the body. There's the physiology of the makeup of the body and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah. The physiology of, obviously, you know, and that's why the program's really great, because they have obviously the team and, you know, how they push. You know, so like me holding that certificate before I went over to New York was just as, you know, that was my defining moment, because, you know, like, you've got to work hard to get that certificate, because it wasn't a free ride to get to New York. Mm-hmm. You know, like, being part of the project, you know, one thing is being part of the squad. So, you know, like, to think that because I'm in the squad that I'm automatically going to New York. No, you're not.
Right.
You know,
you've
got to actually put in the hard yards. So, throughout last year, going to these different camps and participating in these different events, and, you know, it's like a, you know, 5-6 month journey in the lead up to getting to New York. You know,
what year was New York? What year was New York?
2014. So last year.
Only last year. Yeah. Okay. So you've run two marathons in the last 12 months.
Two marathons in the last 12 months, from basically really no running at all.
You know, man.
Yeah, so, wow. Like, you know, but besides playing Aussie Rules footy locally and stuff like that, there was no, you know, just really no...
no other sports or athletics or anything?
Footy was my own, you know, game. Yep. You know, I love footy. Yep. I still love footy now. I still play it locally and have around and have a kick and stuff like that. But there was no, obviously, focus individually.
Wow.
Like, But I've always kind of semi-knew about doing, like, marathons and, like, I didn't know the distance. You know, it's funny. Everyone's like, "Oh, you run a marathon." You know, there's very few people that really, "Oh, so how far's a marathon?" You know, like. You say, "Oh, it's 42.5 km, you know. But at the time, you know, like, when Charlie done it, he's like, and I was like, "Yeah, I'll do a marathon, you know." And he's going, "Yeah, it's 42-something km, brother." I said, "Jesus, you know, like, you know what I mean?" 42 km, geez, what the hell, you know, like, it's just really, you know, like, everyone's kind of response to it, you know, yeah. Man, that's a long way, you know, and, I think, you know, it's just, but at the end of the day, you know, like, you know, you put the hard work in, which I did last year, leading up until, you know, my last accomplishment in the North Pole. You know, like, I trained very hard with that, you know, and it just goes to show your body is a lot more. Your body's amazing in terms of, but you've actually got to put in the hard work. And, you know, a lot of it's to do with mental you know, the aspect of it.
Yes.
You know, and being mentally strong.
Yeah, and focused.
You know, and having that drive to, you know, to actually why you set out to do what you want to do and why, you know, what the purposes of your journey.
What your goals are,
your goals, you know, unless you got a focus, no one goes out and runs 42.195 k's on a Sunday. You know? No one does that. You know, no one, you know, what are you running for, brother? You know, like, people see me here in Brim, they look, is anyone behind him running, you know, chasing him? You know, like, black fella, you know?
Policeman coming,
something, or he's run off of something. What's this black fella there? So I'm pretty
good on
you. I'm pretty well recognised in Broome because I'm the only black fella that's doing these ridiculous amount of K's running around, you know, like this. So I think, oh, that's Adrian, you know. I think, you know, like coming off the back of New York and then obviously doing the North Pole Marathon not long ago. So, like, you know, I'm pretty well known now because.
For sure.
Only little black fella there. Clocking up miles, running around the room, you know, and but it's been great, you know, in that sense. And
take us back to 2013. Did you start prep? When did you start your Cert 4 course as a part of being in the team, being in the project? When did you start that?
Well, 2014.
2014 was New York Marathon, but did you start your course then as well?
No, at the start, well. Early that year, 2014, so in February I turned 30.
Mm.
Just not long after that, they were doing the tryouts, so around March or something, they were doing the national tryouts, and I got an email saying, because I reapplied and stuff like that, because I applied before in 2012, and I was unsuccessful that year.
All right.
Mother, mate. Yep. You know. So, it was my second time around having a go at the project.
Okay. And it's a mixed. It's a mixed group. There, man, woman in the program. How many of our mob there? How many blackfella?
Well, they try to every year. They try to go for six and six.
Six man, six woman. Yeah.
Yep. That's what they. You know. Ultimately, they. But in my year, they went 5 male and 7 female.
Right, yeah.
Just because it came down to, two females pushing for one position. So they thought,
They both had potential.
Yeah. Well,
and promise.
The thing, you know, they try and be pretty, like, and I think they made an exception in our year, you know.
And they're people from across the country. They're like, you're from Broome. There's people from across the country in the project?
Yeah. There's people from across the country, everywhere. Basically, you know, like you get on the website and you make inquiries about trying out. Uh-huh. And then...
Just follow it through from there.
Kind of, yeah. Mm. And then from there, they kind of let you know, locations of where possible tryouts are.
Okay.
And then they obviously, you know, if you let them know in advance, they kind of assist you, you know, like, you know, like you need some assistance and, you know.
For travel and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know.
So what tryout? For the tryout, did they say, go out and run 10K and we see how you look at the end of it or something? I mean, what was the actual tryout for you?
Well, it's the funny thing is the tryout, it's a 3K for females and a 5K for the males.
Mm.
And then you do an interview process.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing is not so much the 5K, you know, to try it. Obviously, you've got to get through the distance, but they look at, you know, obviously you're doing that and obviously it's 3K for the females, but they look at, when I do the interview process, they look at why you want to be a part of the program.
Yeah, right.
You know? And
yes.
what you bring to the program, you know, like, because by all means, I wasn't an athlete. Mm. No, they don't target athletes or, you know, people think they kind of target, you know, young leaders or, you know, in their eyes, young people that, you know, obviously want to make a difference within themselves personally, but have the potential to create, you know, difference within their community, you know, and give them that empowerment to do so, you know, like, so, you know.
What was New York like for you to actually get to New York? You're at the starting line. How long was that? That was 40K, 42K, New York?
Yep, 42.1 months. So.
And the, there was the dozen? Was there the full squad there?
No, we had 10.
Uh-huh.
From 12, we had 10.
Yep, 10 starters.
From our squad, from like the 12 originally, one of the young girls from the territory, she had to pull out of the project.
Right, yeah.
Basically, before she started, like her dream was to become an Aboriginal community cop.
Uh-huh.
So she applied before she got into the program, and through the thing, she got accepted to obviously do the training.
All right. So she had to pull out of the program, yeah.
So she had to pull out of the program, which, you know, but the beauty of the program is that there's always opening doors and, you know.
Of course, doors open, doors close.
Yeah, 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 but, yeah. You know, like, so obviously, like, you know, lose one of our squad members to become something that she's dreamed of since she was, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and it was her job that she, you know, like. And
we one of her dreams.
Really, one of her dreams, and we were happy, you know, and I think that's what it's about too, you know, yeah. Like. So, and the other young girl, She had fractures in her foot.
Oh, bugger.
So, yeah, Rachel from Gallowinka.
There's 10 of yous.
Tokyo Marathon. Yeah.
There's 10 of yous at the lined up, 10 black fellas lined up in New York at the starting line for a 42K run.
Yep.
Was that cold weather there in New York when you were there?
It was 2 degrees.
What?
2 degrees.
Start line. All right. Mm-hmm. Wow, eh? Yeah, yeah. And you completed that.
Yeah, I completed.
And the other members of the team?
All 10 of us.
All completed?
Yeah. All completed.
Wow, fantastic. Amazing.
And the beauty
How'd you feel after it? Yeah, go on, tell me the beauty, what?
Oh, well, no, just a good thing. Like, for the program, like, you know, there's a 5-month thing since, you know, when you start the program to, obviously, the journey to New York.
All right, the prep but, and stuff.
Prep, but with the Indigenous Marathon Project, you know, Rob Dickerson hasn't put someone on the start line that has never finished. You know, this is unbelievable.
Really?
And there's 43 Indigenous runners, Indigenous Marathon runners, been part of the project. You know, so it's just a good, you know, it's just a good number. He hasn't,
and they've all finished. They all completed.
There's no one been set up to fail.
Yeah. Wow, that says a lot for the prep and De Castello himself.
Yeah, but there's only one instance where one of the young girls, because she got injured from New York, so she went on and done Boston. But when she done the Boston, she did it at the same time. Remember when they had the bombings and stuff?
Like yeah, that? Right. Yeah, yeah.
So she's about 40 to 39 Ks coming in to finish off the marathon. And that marathon got cancelled, so she's only 2 or 3 Ks from finishing the marathon, but she couldn't finish because of all the things that happened. You
yes,
know what I mean?
Yes, yes, yep.
So
outside of that, everybody's been in completion.
Yeah, but following up from that, she later on went to Melbourne and she completed the Melbourne Marathon. She still got a Boston Marathon medal.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because of only the circumstances, but she went down to Melbourne and, you know, she eventually went on to finish that last 3 Ks of what she had to do in terms of marathon, you know, like. So it's been a pretty successful project in terms of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's take a short break. I want to come back and talk to you and ask you about the North Pole Marathon. I mean, for a young fella from Alice Springs and Broome to go to such a place, the North Pole, it's just ice. What was that like for you? What do you do for training? I mean, how do you prepare yourself for that ice? So let's come back straight after this short message here, and we'll talk on about the North Pole and all that whiteness around you there, whiteness of a different kind. My guest is a young First Nations man, Adrian Dodson-Shaw. He's a member of the Indigenous Marathon Project. He's ran in 2 marathons, one in New York, one in the North Pole, 40-plus kilometres. Amazing. Just amazing, this young fella. Just goes to show what our mob can do. What you can do, like he says, if you got to focus and you make the effort, you put the hard yards in. Adrian, diet and health and stuff like that, very important. Does the project, do they determine what you should be eating, or is it just get out and run and get fit?
You get a lot of education around, obviously being fit, because it's a health program and stuff like that.
Mm.
But you also learn about, obviously, right foods and, obviously, foods that give you energy to, to sustain you because you're always training and stuff like that,
Right.
I think, the majority of us, Blufford Broom, we've got a pretty stable diet. I've got the luxury of living next to the salt water, I eat fish regularly and, go out to the desert and, go and shoot something.
The bush tucker there, yeah.
Yeah, there's bush tucker. Mm. And Rob Dicker, so he's a big one, he talks about, a high-fat diet, you should go out and eat all your bush tuckers and stuff like we've been doing in the past, like we've been doing for many years, how our Aboriginal people been. So he's always been into, a high-fat, low-carbohydrate, no-sugar diet,
Yeah, right, yes.
Have
you always been a clean-living man, or did you have, in Melbourne with the AFL, did you... You can get out and party and have a bit of a drink and what have you.
Oh, yeah. No,
you did all of that as a young fella?
As a young fella, you do, You get caught up.
Of course.
You, like all other young people, it's not only Indigenous people.
That's right.
You get caught up in that drinking culture, But I think that really came back to me, because I had a lot of potential to obviously play AFL, Aussie rules football at the highest level, But I don't think I had that mentor there,
Right, the support around you, yeah?
No, I had other young blokes that were there to play, football and have a kick, but didn't have that really structure in terms of that pathway where people, that mentor kind of stuff where... Yeah. Kept you on track and, I was part of a couple of programs, but there was nothing there, really, so...
So is that put the success down to here largely, the fact that there is proper support and mentoring? I mean, that's essential in any given field. That is essential. So do you put that, do you think that's what's worked for you? Is it that sort of structured support and mentoring?
Well, I think it's the belonging of something.
Uh-huh.
A program that's basically left up to you, I've got a head coach, Mick Reeves, who just came on board last year, and great support, besides Rob, because Rob handles a lot of that business side of the Indigenous Marathon project, but I think being a part of a team. Even though the marathon's an individual event, but to have that support and that structure, it doesn't take much to for people to kind of get behind you and have a bit of belief in you. As soon as you have a bit of belief, people have belief in you. You have belief in yourself.
Mm.
You kind of have a purpose, and then you reflect it. It's not really a pride thing, People, last year getting selected and being overwhelmed by, being selected in the squad. And it's a lot different from a lot of programs because, people say, oh, you got selected, you're going to go to New York to run the marathon. I said, no, I've been selected in the squad, and I've got to work hard to get to New York.
You've still got to be selected to go to New York, yeah.
Selected is the first thing.
Yeah,
what you put in.
That's right. Did you ever think?
Yeah.
Did you ever think, oh, look, bugger this, I'm sick of waking up at 5 o'clock and running 20 or whatever kilometres. Did you ever get to that point? Did that ever cross your mind at times during the build-up or the lead-up, the training, the prep for your first marathon in New York?
No, not really.
Yeah.
I think, you know, like every time I got up, like, you know, I had a couple of running buddies and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
But at the end of the day, you know, you had that purpose, you know, and all this training led to the point of, you know, obviously me getting to New York and finishing the marathon. Because I think if you don't put the training in this year, you know, like I was fully committed, you know.
Good one.
As a lot of the graduates that's gone before me, and you know, a lot of the squad members that are coming on board and stuff like that. Like, you know, once you start, it's funny. Like, you know, like I was really committed.
Yeah.
I didn't drink for 9 months.
Pardon? You
know? I didn't drink for nine.
Okay,
months.
Okay, okay.
This is just before previously coming on board with the program. You know, I can't have alcohol. But that was a personal choice.
So that was a personal choice before the IMP.
Yeah.
For you.
Good
one. Good on you.
It was a great choice because I gave up, and then 2 weeks leading up to it, they called me to do the tryout, you know.
Uh-huh.
So doing the tryout, getting successfully in, and then just, you know, in the short period of my life, you know, like part of the project, you know, there was no clause with me, you know, when you get in this project, you can't drink. You know?
Yes.
No clause of that. But that was a personal thing that I took up.
Good on
because,
you.
Because if I was going to commit to, you know, what I'm committing to, because, you know, I'm going to give myself every opportunity chance to, you know, get to that start line and ultimately finish, you know, which I did.
Don't compromise yourself in any way at all. So you've done New York, you finished that. What'd you think? Was there any thoughts just in the New York run thinking, oh, God, I'm only 20K, I've got another 20 to go, or any of that sort of stuff, any doubt, you know? I mean, you just got to stay focused and keep on going, finish line, finish line, finish line. Where are you, I imagine? I don't know. I've got no idea.
Yeah, well, it's funny because the lead up to the race, I bought a new watch, running watch.
Mm-hmm.
And that running watch, you know, like that, as you become a runner, you get really conscious of having your running watch and monitoring how far you run and your time. You know,
and
you
your just, times and you that, know, yes.
Just, you know, but I left my watch back in the hotel. So on the bus leading, you know, going to the start line, and I'm freaking out. I'm thinking, oh no, I need, you know. But luckily, one of the sister girls that has done the project, she said to me, you know, and she's a staff member as well. She said to me that, you know, I could borrow her watch.
Right.
But it was only half full. So basically I borrowed it, and then it went flat about 29 Ks during the run. And around that mark, I rolled my ankle, and then the watch went flat, and then the last 12 Ks was basically just run on, like, you know, not knowing, you know, the unknown.
Yeah.
And for me, when you hit, you know, obviously in the United States, they go by miles.
Yeah, right. Well. Yes, that's right. It's miles.
They have mile markers, so I don't even know how much miles was in 42 Ks. And I got to 23 miles, and I thought, oh, all right, I'm nearly home.
Yeah.
Must be just around this corner, you know?
Yeah.
Thinking, oh. And I said, no, mate, it's 26 miles.
It's 40 K. All right. 42K.
Yeah.
You rolled your ankle during the course of this marathon.
Yeah. So I had to run basically 12 Ks.
With injury?
We're having that. So I tried to dodge a cup on the ground and, you know, I hit that and then my ankle swelled up, you know, and basically, you know. But by then, you know, I just didn't have time to think about it.
Yeah, just break through the pain barrier.
You just got to break through.
Yeah.
And I felt I had a bit of discomfort and stuff. Mm. Like, you just have to keep going forward, you know.
Wow, man, that's amazing. That's amazing. So
yeah.
How long after that, after finishing completion of the New York Marathon, did you think, well, what's next? I'm putting my hand up for another one.
Then what happened?
And why the North Pole? Why all the ice?
Oh, it come about funny, actually. Like, obviously completing New York, coming back and just having a rest, because after I finished New York, I had really problems with my feet.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know what happened, because I found it hard standing up. So I had a bit of problem, you know, at work and stuff like that, trying to stand up. So I didn't run for a while. Just due to, like, you know, my foot was very tender. It was badly bruised.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I just stayed involved in the project, and obviously, you know, our coach at the time, agrees and stuff, and just having conversations with him. And there was opportunities that came up, and there were three graduate opportunities just towards the end of the year. And obviously one of them was running the New York North Pole Marathon. Another one was doing the Kokoda Trail, and the other one was doing a chaperone kind of thing, taking 12 Indigenous kids over to the United States for 2 weeks. And there was room for four graduates. So initially, I put my hand up over to New York to help out chaperone, you know, Indigenous kids and stuff like that. So obviously, because I wanted to take a young guy from here, from the Kimberleys, thought he'd be a perfect candidate for that. So I had in my head that, you know, because obviously you've got to still go through a process of, like, you know, applying and sending an email. You know, you obviously have got your interest there, and, you know, they have to go through another selection criteria. But I said, you know, I'd love to go to the United States and be a part of the United States program, doing Indigenous kids over. And I went on a spiel, and I had a big spiel about that, and then I said, you know, like, but if it arises, you know, I'd love to do the North Pole Marathon or the Dakota Trail. So it was quite funny getting a phone call back and saying, we're checking you to do the North Pole Marathon. And I'm just like, what?
Wow.
You know, I was really thrown. I was thrown, you know, because I was, but a good thrown, because, you know, obviously,
you were up to the challenge.
I was up for the challenge, you know, second marathon and coming off the New York Marathon. And, like, you know, I always was keen to go on. And, you know,
How'd you prepare yourself? Like, you're in Broome. What sort of training? I mean, how many miles would you run of a morning? Get up at 5 o'clock and run, or kilometres would you run? And then how do you prepare yourself in your own mind for just ice? I mean, what minus 30 degrees or some damn thing? What was it?
Yeah. Minus 30 degrees. I think, like, training in the toughest part of, like, you know, in the lead up to North Pole, because January, February, it's wet season, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for you, yeah, in Broome.
Yeah, and the season is just really hot, humid, sticky. So, you know, like, everything about it is just tough.
Yeah.
You know? And then to kind of go out and sign up for a marathon, you know, through those months, you know, like, you know, it was tough for me, and, you know, but I got a lot of conditioning out of it, and, you know, like, I think a lot of those things, you know, like, because it prepares you mentally. Because 90% of the time, you know, like, with running, you get your body fit enough to a certain extent, you know, you can be the first bloke in the world. But if you don't have, you know, like, that mental barrier,
yes,
when things, you know, like, you can't stop. Like, if your leg's giving way or something happens to you when you run, and you don't have the drive to kind of push through that.
Like, roll your ankle in the New York Marathon and keep on going. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think, you know, like, and it just shows, you know, a lot of young Indigenous people, you know, we don't give ourselves credit, you know, in terms of what you know, and a lot of people in general, you know, like we don't give ourselves credit of what we're physically really capable of.
Yeah,
you know,
what we can do when we really want to put our mind to it.
What you can do, and you know, like since being a part of a project, I just hate that word can't, but, you know, because it's really limiting
exactly
what you can do, you know. But, you know, like just training up for the North Pole Marathon, I had to come out and, you know, and that's the thing, you know, no one runs the marathon for you. You know, it's not a team sport. You're not playing.
You're on your own. You're on your own.
You're on your own, you know. Like, you can't just sneak into a great side and win a premiership, you know what I mean? You know, it's really, it's you, ultimately.
It's about you. So when you're running that marathon there at the North Pole, you were running... It was actually snow was falling on you, because there's photos of you in the paper where your ski mask and all this sort of stuff is just covered in ice. So there's snow falling, and the track, the 40K track, I mean, have they had the machines out there and clear on the track for you so you got a firm base to run on, I imagine?
Nah, well, what they do is they just go out and map out at the start.
Yeah.
You know, they get the snow ski things. Yeah, and they go around initially to plug out, you know, a course. Mm. And basically, it's just, and you know, it's one of the toughest courses I've run, you know, like besides being that freezing, you know, like I wasn't running just on normal road. It's just tough in every sense of it. Like,
of course,
you can't really describe on, you know, like crushing, sinking snow, sinking ice, hard ice, you know, like it just
what sort
up.
Of shoes, footwear do you wear in that? I mean, you got specialised footwear that's going to keep your feet warm and dry, I imagine, or what?
Well, we've been pretty lucky, like at the Indigenous Marathon Project, like ASICS have been a really good supporter of us.
Right, yes.
So, you know, they've sponsored a lot of our clothing and, our, you know, fitting out the guys and all our gear and stuff like that. So, I got a pair of ASIC boots with a bit of spikes and stuff there, which was awesome, you know. It was a great boot. But you know, like, you can't... I ran in Broome on soft sand to kind of simulate, you know, what it'd be like.
Yes.
But ultimately, you can't describe what it is like unless you actually... been to the snow and ran in some, ran through snow and some of the conditions of, you know, just the track itself was really tough. You know, it wasn't, you know, obviously, you know, it took me over, you know, 8.5 hours all up, you know, including, you know, a couple of breaks in between, you know, getting myself warm and hydrating and getting food into me. You know, like, so
there's a couple of stops along the way where you're able to do that, get some food,
water. Yeah, there was a tent. Yeah, right, there was a heated tent.
How long that break be? 10, 15 minutes or 5 minutes, 2 minutes, what? How long that breaks?
Oh, well, it just depends on you, you know. Like,
all right.
It depends on obviously you come and, you know, you can defrost your goggles and defrost anything else that needs, you know, icing up. Have a couple of, food into your, have a break. But basically, you don't want to get too warm and you don't want to stop for too long.
Right.
Uh-huh. So it's really up to you to how you monitor how long you stop for.
Yes.
Because, you know, if you stop for too long and then you try to go back out, you know, you've got to kind of keep focused, ultimately, but you know, like with your body too, you know, because we had doctors on hand as well.
Of course,
they were obviously monitoring us. I kind of played the safe card where, like, every kind of lap or two, I'd pull up and go into the shelter, have some water, and I had, you know, like that, because the last thing I wanted was obviously to go out, push myself. You know,
yeah, and break
too
down,
hard.
Yeah, and break
and
down,
break down,
yeah, yeah.
Because
so, are you saying you're doing laps? Are you saying that it wasn't just an open? There's 43K ahead of you. Here's a start line. 43K down the track is a finish line.
It,
It was
3.5K leaps.
Okay.
So we did 12 of them.
You'd almost be getting dizzy running around the bloody place. 8 hours of that, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, there was a number of you. There were 45 starters, 33 finished, and you were one of those 33. Yeah. There were people that dropped out with hypothermia and blistering on their face and stuff from the freezing conditions. I mean, man, that's a grueling run.
Oh, it's just physically, you know, and as you said, you know, I was one of the 33 at finish, and I think I finished 22nd overall.
Dead.
But it's just on your body, you know, like, you can be the fittest bloke in the world, but if, you know, like, nature gets a hold of you,
That's right.
It can.
How'd you feel when you get to that finish, you get to the end of the line and you think, wow.
I can still remember myself there running and sprinting past that finish line and just doing that and reflecting back because you know, like, for me or for any runner that you ask, real hard stuff happens when you're out there training yourself just in normal training.
Yep.
Because there's no bells or whistles, there's no one giving you high fives, there's no one cheering on.
Yeah.
It's just you out there, you know. So some of the hardest training sessions I've had are just being by myself and going out there running those long distances, you know, compared to, you know, like, doing New York, or, you know, North Pole was different because obviously, you know, you're out there and it's just you know, the race is a survival of the fittest, you know. You go there with your own personal thing, and everything about that marathon was just crossing the finish line, starting it and finishing it. You know, there's no, you know, record timing or, you know, like, how, because to endure over 8 hours of just mentally being switched on to keep going around, you know, running 12 laps of, you know, or running on an unknown territory or being in a freak, you know, like,
punishing.
Not experiencing minus 30 degree conditions and seeing snow for the first time and being a boom from Broome, you know, like, I signed up for this.
Yep.
You know.
So you're 30. Hard. You're 31. Pushing 31 now, ain't you?
Yeah, I'm 31 now. Yep.
31 now. Where to now for you? What do you want to do? What's next?
Yeah, I'll probably do another international marathon next year.
Yeah.
I've actually just recently signed up as of yesterday. I mean, one of my best mates now, that the blog I saw from Charlie Mahi, is the first guy to be a part of the project and do the New York Marathon. We've signed up and we're looking at doing the Melbourne Marathon late October or something.
All right.
So that's probably, you know, you run around all the world, but you don't have, you know, you don't do a marathon in your own country, you know. So I thought, you know, like, but that just is, obviously, something to train towards, you know, towards the end of the year. But I've, you know, we've got a new addition to the family coming in August with my partner and stuff like that. So she's only couple of months away of, you know, having another boy, so we're welcoming another boy soon, you know, from the tribe. So, you know, being on dad duties very soon, which is
yes, the family commitments and stuff. What do you say to young fellas? There's a quote from you here in a paper in the interview. When an opportunity comes up, grab it with both hands. Don't die wondering.
Yeah, I love that thing. You know, like, I had this that quote about, like, don't die wondering.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You know, something along the lines of, like, you know, and it really stuck with me because I think I didn't want to be that person that, you know, like, you know, there's a lot of stories within a lot of our mob, you know, especially associated around drinking and, you know, like, you put up in different circles and people tend to talk about, oh, you know, like, if I'd done this right thing, you know, I could have been doing this or, you know.
Made the right choice. It might be on a different path,
making the right choice in that decision.
It's inspirational what you've achieved and what you're doing, what you continue to do. What do you say to our people out there, especially some of the younger ones, even not so young? I mean, you were just about 30 when you decided to start doing marathons. What do you say to our mob, you know? Encouragement, support?
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not a, by all means, so like, I'm not a athlete, you know? I've never been a big track and field athlete. I've never knew, you know, obviously, you know, distance. But I've always been obviously strong in terms of being a strong person. Mm. And a lot of our mob are, you know. And my message is this, obviously, don't sell yourself short, and don't ever doubt what you're really capable of. Like they always say, you know, don't die wondering if opportunities come up, and never second guess yourself. Because that was a lot like me, because I wanted to make positive changes, you know, and I didn't just want to be another you know, male out there not, you know, having full, you know, having a lot of potential but not fulfilling it, and just, you know, being happy to rest back and not make, you know, an impact, you know, because, you know, like, obviously I set out to do this marathon project to show my boys, you know, to say, to see, like, now every time I'm not at home, my kids think, oh, Dad's running, you know. Yeah. And it's good because it's become part of the norm of my family.
Yes.
Because if you're not at home, you're actually running or you're being active, you know, like, you know.
That's
and there's that positive image of, you know, like, you know.
Yes.
So I just wanted to lead by, you know, my actions.
Lead by example.
Like that.
Yeah, no,
yeah,
those young sons need that. I mean, yes, now people need it everywhere, but it's good to know that you've got young sons that are watching, and who knows where they're going to be. Well, look, mate, we're just about out of time here. Is there anything else you want to say in winding up?
Oh, no, just thanks for having me on the program and obviously sharing my Indigenous Marathon Project story. You know, obviously, for those listeners out there that are interested, you know, like, get on our website, the Indigenous Marathon website, Indigenous Marathon web page, you know, just obviously...
The IMP page, Indigenous Marathon
IMP
Project.
Page, so the project, and obviously on Facebook for people who are on Facebook. But just have a look, because we've got, you know, we've got another 11 deadly runners a part of this year's squad that are taking on New York, you know, and they're from, you know, different parts of Australia, you know, so every year, you know, like, we're getting selected, and I'm a graduate now, but, you know, we have, you know, always every year we have, you know, new squad members that are coming on board of being part of the IMP family. Mm. And, you know, with the vision of running in the New York Marathon and getting there and stuff like that. But, I just want to, you know, obviously, just for the listeners, you know, get involved, have a look at it, see what it's about, and, you know, because it's making, you know, the project's doing really great things with young Indigenous
people.
It
certainly is. It's fantastic.
And, and like I said, you know, my quote, you know, opportunities that come up around, you know, doesn't necessarily have to be a marathon, but when opportunities come up, you know, just give it a go, you know, give it a go. And don't die wandering, because the last thing you want to do is think, you know, I should have done this, and sitting back when you're old and thinking, oh, you know, I should have this, you know, I should have gave this a chance, or, you know, just go, for, you know, live for the now and just have a crack, because the only, you know, there's no problem with, you know, like, trying, and, you know, because no one will ever knock you for trying, you know what I mean?
All right, my boy, my young fella, my friend, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it. You have a great day, and good luck with your future endeavors.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you.
Tiger.